The following program is presented by the friends and partners of John Carmichael Ministries. Find out more online at www.johncarmichael.net. Today on Kingdom Now with John Carmichael, discover how amazing your life can be and experience the kingdom power that only comes from God. Today on Kingdom Now.
Say, this is my Bible. I believe it's true. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I receive the word of God with faith. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. God bless you, and you may be seated. God bless you. Glad you came tonight. Look at your neighbor. Say, I'm glad you came tonight. I've been praying for you. Hallelujah. Tell your other neighbor, say, I hope you get saved tonight. I really do. This would be a good night for you. Amen. Well, it would be. Amen. Some of you came in here tonight, you're never going to be the same again. I said, you're never going to be the same again. You're going to walk out of here tonight and you're never going to be the same again. Hallelujah. You're going to have to learn how to walk different. Because you've learned to walk in a certain way with a bunch of junk that the enemy's put on your life. And you've compensated for it. And you've done the best you could. That's to your credit. That's not a criticism. You've done what you could do, fighting through what the enemy's tried to do in your life. But I'm here to decree right now over you, that junk stops now. You will not have to go through the rest of 2024 with all that mess in the name of the Lord. You're going to have to learn how to walk different. You're going to have to learn how to talk different. You're going to be thinking different. You're going to walk in places and people who hadn't seen you in a while is going to say, well, who are you? You don't even look the same. You say, I'm not. I'm not the same. Amen. You got your Bibles, open them up. Tonight, I want to talk to you about a curse-free living. Amen. Now, I'm going to teach a little bit, then we're going to pray. And you got to forgive me because sometimes in my teaching, I get off into preaching. So then you just got to just hang on, all right? Some people like more teaching. Some people like more preaching. You're going to get a little bit of both, probably. Amen. I want to talk to you about the curse. This is part four of our series, Living in the Blessing. Or no, Immersed in the Blessing. Immersed in the Blessing. How many have been participating to some level in the daily videos that we've been producing? Raise your hands. Look at this. Look at that. We've had almost 600 views on all those little videos, those little 5 to 10 minute messages. Someone said, you know, you probably need to learn something from that. If you preach shorter, you have more people listen to you. Boo! Whatever. Get out of here with that mess. We're talking about being immersed in the blessing. God wants us blessed. Can I hear an amen? We have to contend for it. We've been learning a little bit about that. That's news to some people. They think it's automatic. They think it just all this stuff just comes on you, you know, just falls on you like ripe cherries off a tree or something. But it doesn't. You got to contend for it. All of it's ours potentially. It's why it's fine to look at the tenses of words, past tense. It's written in the past as if God did it. He did it for us. Already. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, he's already done it for you. He already went to the cross. He died on the cross. So all this stuff in the past tense, what do we do with it then? Because we got to get it to work. Can I hear an amen? And so we're talking about contending for the blessing. But one of the things we have to deal with is this idea of the curse. It's the opposite of the blessing. And the curse operates in people's lives. And I know people say, well, I thought there's Galatians 3:13. We've been redeemed from the curse. Christ has redeemed us from the curse. So the curse is gone. Well, I'm gonna shatter that mindset a little bit. I need to, because in order for us to go anywhere, I want you to see this scripture. So I want you to bow or not bow. I want you to open up, then we'll pray. Revelation 22:3 hasn't happened yet. This is in our future. This is something that will happen. Notice what it's going to say here. There will no longer be any curse. So that meant that the curse was in operation. Is it going to be in operation until Revelation 22:3? That means that curse of sickness, disease, poverty, lack, bewilderment, defeat, all those things we talked about last Wednesday. Now look, this is part four. If you're just jumping in, you're going to get a bunch out of this message. However, I'll tell you that you're going to have to go back and listen to the other ones to get the other foundation for some of this stuff. Because I've already dealt with it. I can't relay that foundation. But what we know is the curse operates in a lot of different ways. And Deuteronomy 28 and so many other places talk to us about what happens when the curse is operating. And here we have this scripture that's going to tell us that the curse is still going to be there up until 2023. But I want to say this to you. Revelation 22:3 is getting ready to happen. Can I hear an amen? See, I do believe in the coming of the Lord, and I don't know about you, but I just got an inkling that he's coming soon. Amen? But up until this time, there is still a curse in operation, and then finally, boom, it doesn't happen anymore. I like how the Amplified Bible says it. I'll read it. It says, there will no longer exist anything that is cursed, because sin, illness, and death are gone. Hallelujah. Amen. So tonight I want to talk to you about this curse and how do we deal with it. And tonight we're going to pray. And as we lay our hands on you tonight, I'm going to believe God with you. I've been praying. I've been in prayer, been thinking about it, been carrying this word for a while. God told me about this service. This service tonight is going to be a marked difference in your life. I mean, put the thing on a calendar and you're going to be able to point back to the night and say, something started changing from that moment, from that day, things started to be different. Can I hear an amen? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I thank you tonight for the anointing on your word. I'm expecting tonight. I got my faith out there tonight. God, that tonight things are going to be different. The curse that is operating in this land, God, is going to be broken. We are not cursed. We are blessed. And we refuse to put up with the curse for a moment longer in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You know, if you feel like there's something against you, there is. There is. It's not just your imagination. Have you ever had things, thoughts in your mind, and you thought, wonder if that's just me? Is that just me? Well, now, let me say this to you. Sometimes it is just you. All right? Sometimes you just, you know, in process of needing to be healed, and you've got some intrusive thoughts that come against you. How many understand that? However, the idea or the understanding or the feeling like there's headwinds always pushing you down, that is accurate. And what is that? What is that thing that constantly feels like it's pushing you down? Have you ever noticed why even in the world they have these positive motivational speakers and they do these truths, but you keep having to go back to those seminars? Why? Because there's something pushing you down and we gotta keep trying to prop ourselves up. And what is that? That's the curse. that's in this world and it's very real. Very real. In fact, go ahead and turn to Galatians 3:13. Very real. So real that the curse. Now, we don't like to talk about that. We don't maybe think in these terms. Maybe you want to think about that negative pressure against you, that feeling that something's always trying to pull you down. There's some people in this room tonight. You remember that character, that cartoon character that always had a cloud, a dark cloud raining on him where he went? Some of y'all feel like that's you. No matter where I go, it's always negative. Nothing ever works right for me. That's that curse. You feel like something is always working against you. Well, it's because this curse, and it's so, what's so important to God to get this thing broken off of humanity. Look at Galatians 3:13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse. That's interesting language. Jesus became a curse. So if this was some kind of frivolous nonsense side issue, then why was it so important to Jesus that he went to the cross and said, I'm going to take on that curse for you? How did he do it? When did he do it? It says, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written there in the law. I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong verse. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. I skipped up to verse 10. Who hangs on a tree. So before we get into verse 14, which is the blessing. Oh, we like that, don't we? I can't wait to talk a little bit more about that blessing. But before we go any further in the blessing, notice the order of things. The curse had to be dealt with first. Amen. And what we have, and what you're going to see from this message, and what I want to talk about, is that we have this issue of Christians who are still living with the curse working in their life. The curse, still operating under the curse, still operating with allowing the curse there. Now, why would that be? And I'm going to go ahead and I'll hopefully prove some of this stuff to you tonight, but I don't have a ton of time, but I will say this. Everything from God has to be appropriated. You ever thought it was interesting that Apostle Paul looked at the church there in Ephesus and said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you might know. And then there's all this list of all the stuff they might know. Do you know those people were born again, spirit-filled believers? They just didn't know enough. They had to grow. Somebody say grow. They had to grow in order to appropriate this. Meaning it didn't just happen. Just because it was available to me doesn't mean that it's actually going to work in my life. And that's why we have believers who are sitting there and we come and we get saved and people tell us, well, just accept Jesus and then everything's good. Yeah, that's the first step. Can I hear an amen? But if we were going to get everything already automatically, then why do we even need to pray? Why do we even need to pray? Because God's just going to do it on his own, right? No. See, he knows what you have need of. Did you know that prayer is not informing God about anything? God already knows what you need. The Bible says, in fact, in Matthew 6, when Jesus was talking about prayer, before he taught prayer, he says, for the Father knows you have need of him before you ask. And then what was his next word? Ask. Pray. So then the Father knows what I have need of, desires to want to help me, but then it necessitates me, though, that even though God wants to do something good in my life, I must pray and believe for it. Amen? Now, I'm not on my study notes yet, so if you're following notes, I hope to get there. Ezekiel, I feel, because I had this pull, I feel like I got to deal with this. You know that God said to Ezekiel, God said, I sought for a man among them that might stand in the gap and make up the hedge before me. How many of you know that scripture? One of you Bible nerds out there with your phone, you're on your phone anyway. Go ahead and look that up and tell me what. I don't know. I need you to tell me. Look for, I sought for a man among them. This is interactive church. Ezekiel what? Ezekiel 22:30. I sought for a man among them that might stand in the gap and make up a hedge before me. Now that's interesting. God's out there looking for someone to pray and someone to intercede. And then he's going to say, but I found how many? None. Now look what he wanted to do. This is interesting. I'm not gotten off my message. We've gone the side road. I sought for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land so that I would not destroy it. So here you have God wanting, in this case, wanting something not to happen. He did not want destruction to come. And I want to say this to you right now, and you need to know this. God has never desired destruction for you, not one time. And here he is. God's will, God's sovereign will is that they would not be destroyed. He's searching and looking, and just somebody appropriate, somebody pray to me so my will can be enforced. I mean, see that. God has a will. He doesn't want him destroyed, but he needs somebody on the earth to pray, to appropriate that will. But this is a sad verse right here. Didn't find any. Can we go to verse 31? Thus, he didn't want to do this. He didn't want it. He did not want this. But these people ended up having the indignation of God poured out on them against what he really wanted for their life. Why? Because no one appropriated what God wanted. And therefore, all the good that God wanted to do in their life, because they didn't appropriate it, it didn't happen. And what we see here is we see a principle. We see a principle. That for us to walk in the goodness and the redemption and the freedom. Listen, you're going to be free. I said, you're going to be free tonight. I said, you're going to be free tonight. I said, your family is never going to be the same again. I said, God is about to show off on your life. But in order for that to happen, what does Galatians 3:13 and 14 tell me? Galatians 3:13 and 14 tells me what God wants. He wants me free. Go back to Galatians 3:14. In order that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit. Now look at those last two words. Through what? Through what? Through faith. Now, I was reading after A.T. Robertson, who is a Bible or a Greek theologian. He looks at the Greek exegetical book on Galatians, and I looked at what he said, and you see that through faith? He said that the way that's structured in the Greek, it governs all of that. It governs that you might be redeemed from the curse of the law through faith. That you might walk in the blessing of Abraham through what? Through faith. That you might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. That the through faith, that means that none of those things happen without me releasing faith. All of this has to be stood in the gap for. Can I hear an amen? Are y'all ready to get to the message now? I've got 16 minutes. That's all right. Number one, write this down. I hope I'm going to touch on it real fast. The study notes are uploaded on our website, evangelnorth.net. All right, we gave them out to you. We're going to touch on them, and then I'm going to pray because I do need to. We need to teach a little bit. Then we're going to pray because I want you to know what you're getting free from. Amen. What causes the curse operating against us? What causes that stuff that's operating against us? Let me give you some things. Number one, the fact that you were born. That's all you did. Why do I have a curse against me? Because you were born and you came out of your mother's womb. It's as simple as that. Just being a human qualifies you to have the curse operating against your life. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:22. Where do we get that idea? As in Adam, all die. Everybody say all die. How many in this room are from Adam? I'm not talking about Brother Billings over here either. He's got a couple of people for that could say that in another different way, but we're all from Adam. No, I'm from Noah. Yes, where'd Noah come from? Because we are all in the lineage of Adam, all of us, that meant that the curse operating against your life isn't just because you've been a bad boy. It's not just because you didn't dot your I's and cross your T's exactly right. The fact of the matter is every single person that's born, the curse, what death? What were we talking about? Curse. All die. That was the curse. The day you shall eat of it, you shall surely what? In Adam, everybody has the curse. That meant you got to stop beating yourself up every single day. Well, I'm getting what I deserve. Well, let me say this to you right now. Every one of us in here deserves something bad to happen to us. Ain't none of us deserve good stuff in our life. And you need to be okay with that theology. You need to be okay with that thought. That thought actually should be encouraging to you to go, wait a minute, you know what? It is true. I have earned some bad stuff in my life. And I have done some bad stuff in my life. But I thank God that in Christ, look at the rest of the verse, but also in Christ, how many will live? All. Somebody shout all. All will be made alive. That's free from the curse. If dying is part of the curse and being made alive is the opposite of that, then that's the blessing. Somebody say the blessing. So just being born makes you a candidate for the curse. Now, one of the things that people like to talk about is generational curses. Everybody say generational curses. Ooh. You get some real spooky people that love talking about that. Now, what is it? What is that? Is that real? Some people, absolutely. What do you think, Pastor John? I don't know. Let me give you a verse. Some of y'all are going to be mad at me for this verse, but that's okay. Ezekiel. Well, we're in Ezekiel tonight. I didn't plan on that, but here we are. Ezekiel 18, verse 19 through 20. Now we got to do something. Everybody put your thinking caps on. Remove your dunce hat and put your thinking cap on. Y'all don't know what that is. Anybody here know what that means? And I'm just joking with y'all. I'm trying to lighten the mood a little bit because it could get really heavy if we let it. The cause of the curse is sin. That's important for you to understand. So sin is the cause of the curse. However, when it comes to personal sin, what does that do for us? Does the fact that my pappy or my great pappy or great great pappy or whatever had a curse on them, does that affect me? Now look at this verse. Yet you say, why should the Son bear the punishment for the Father's iniquity? That's what this is talking about. Did this get passed down generationally? When the Son practiced justice and righteousness and observed all my statutes and done them, he shall what? He'll live. The person who sins will die. The Son will not bear the punishment of the Father's iniquity. So remember, the causation of the curse is what? Sin. So what's the punishment of the Father's iniquity? The curse. Y'all following? You may track in here. Anybody got your thinking cap on? Follow. Oh, yeah. Okay. So look at what it says. The Son will not bear the punishment of the Father's iniquity, nor will the Father bear the punishment for the Son's iniquity, for the righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself. Now, depending on how you look at that verse, I kind of see that it doesn't go generationally. I mean, how many can read? You all see what I'm saying? That doesn't look like generational curse to me that gets passed down because of daddy. Because the son ain't going to bear what the daddy did. Now, I know that goes against a lot of charismatic teaching and preaching and all that stuff. And that shakes you a little bit, but I want you to think. Come on, somebody. Don't just believe everything everybody says. Find out. Ask yourself some questions. Is that true? Where is that in the Bible? That's a good question to ask sometimes. Where is generational curses in the Bible? Now, that looks like I said something against it, right? But I don't know. Because it may be from this verse that the Son was going to do the Father, but now that he acted righteously, he broke the curse off of his life. Maybe it was going to pass down to him. Y'all see this? But now he didn't do what his daddy did. He walked righteously and he did what he was supposed to do. And now it's not working in his life. How many can see that? That's a possible way of looking at that. That's a possible way of looking at that verse. But let me go a little bit further. In your notes, I bring up Ahithophel and Solomon. You might say, who in the world is Ahithophel? 2 Samuel, man, I got to hurry up. 2 Samuel 16:23. It's going to tell us about this guy by the name Ahithophel. Ahithophel is the great-grandfather of Solomon, this is important note, through Bathsheba. Not through David, through Bathsheba. Ahithophel was Bathsheba's grandpa. Now look at what the Bible says about Ahithophel. The advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if one inquired of the word of God. He had wise advice. He could speak, and it was like God was talking. He had such wisdom. But then we know about Solomon. 1 Kings 4:29, God gave Solomon wisdom and great discernment and breadth of mind like the sand that is on the seashore. So you know what this looks like? This looks like a generational blessing. Here you got Ahithophel, and God has blessed him with such wisdom and knowledge and the understanding, and it's so on him that it's not like everybody else. It's like God is speaking. But now we see that generational blessing showing up in Solomon. Let me take you to another person. Abiathar and Jeremiah. Am I impressing y'all with these names? Y'all impressed? How about Abiathar? Abiathar is the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddad of Jeremiah. Look at Abiathar. It said 1 Kings 2:26. Abiathar messed up and got banished. Look at where he got banished to. Then to Abiathar the priest, the king said, go to Anathoth to your own field. For you deserve to die, but I will not put you to death at this time because you carried the ark of God before my father David, because you were afflicted in everything which my father was afflicted. So Abiathar chose wrongly. Solomon's there. Solomon said, I should kill you, but I'm not going to kill you, but I'm going to send you somewhere. To where? Anathoth. I want to say something that will get me in so bad trouble, but I am not going to do it tonight. Look at Jeremiah 1:1. What you need to know about Anathoth. Oh no, see, Bob, you're going to get me in trouble. I've turned over a new leaf, 2024. I've not gotten in trouble once this year so far. How many are like me? You're still got good. Oh, man. I thought so. I know where I'm at. You haven't gotten in trouble? That's good. It's the words. I did get in trouble the other day. I take that back. I forgot. I did. Jesus help us. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth. There were no priests there. That's not a place where the priests go. How did any priests come? And every commentary person I looked at said these were descendants. Who did I say? Abiathar. What happened? Abiathar has the presence of God about him to deliver the word of the Lord. He messes up. And now, all of his lineage, they're still carrying this blessing of God that was on his life. And now when there shouldn't have been any priests in Anathoth, now all of a sudden there's a bunch of priests and Jeremiah pops up carrying the same anointing that was on his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. It's a generational blessing. Every one of the tribes of Israel had a particular anointing that was passed down into their families. You say, I thought you were talking about the curse. What are you talking about? Okay, let me stitch this together for you. It is very possible, I'm going to say the word likely, that just as there could be a generational blessing that can get passed down, there can also be a generational curse that gets passed down. God wants to set you free. Can I hear an amen? How do you live curse-free? Number one, surrender your life to Jesus Christ. There is no freedom without surrender. where you give your life to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'll make you Lord of my life. For it says, for also all in Christ shall what? Live. But how do I live? In Christ. Church, I'm telling you right now, this is no time to be playing games with God. Number two, release your faith against any curse operating in your life. Let me take you to a scripture, Proverbs 26:2. It's a very powerful scripture. Proverbs 26:2. Listen to what it says. Like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, so a curse without a cause does not alight. Somebody say, without a cause. What's the cause of a curse? What is it? Sin. Disobedience to God. Remember, he said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose what? What was that? What was the choice? Obey me or not obey me? You obey me, you get life and you get blessing. You disobey, you get what? Death and the curse. But we have a problem because the curse came to all in Adam. The enemy still thinks he has a cause. Shut up. I'll be done. The enemy will bring the curse. You can't stop birds flying over your head. I can't control whether a bird flies over my head or not. The curse is flying around all the time, seeking somewhere to land, trying to land in your life. And the enemy will say, I have a cause. You've sinned. You failed God. I have a right, the curse is saying. I have a right to be in your life. But what did it say? A curse without a cause can't stay. I got good news for you tonight. This would be shouting ground if I was in a Pentecostal church. I got good news for you tonight because the Bible says that through Christ, we've been redeemed from the curse. What am I trying to tell you? He took the cause. He took the cause away. But when you look at the people who study Hebrew, they tell us that the word that was used there without a cause was a word that would be used in a courtroom. That when someone comes up against you and tries to do something bad, and now you've got to submit a cause. You've got to say, they don't have legal right to be in my life. But look, until you do that, that bird's going to come up here. Listen, I can't control whether birds fly over my head, but I'm getting ready to say something really bad. I sure can control whether they stay. Get off of me in the name of Jesus. Curse trying to show up in my life. Get off of me in the name of the Lord Jesus. The blood of Jesus says you don't have a right in my life anymore. The blood of Jesus is stronger than anything that would try to operate in my life. Can I hear an amen, church? Stand to your feet all over the house. Shanda bokonde kisete. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God and resist the devil and he'll flee. What's that got to do with anything? I'm going to tell you what it's got to do. You've got victory over the devil. He just don't know it. But if you don't stand up and resist the devil and what he wants to do in your life, he'll come in and wreck you. But I have to do what? Submit to God. Would I say step number one to getting free from the curse? Surrender to God. Surrender to Jesus. Give your life to God. I mean, I'm not talking about this nominal Christianity that we have. Because I want to tell you right now, that stuff doesn't work. It doesn't work. Kind of halfway in, you're going to experience the same bad stuff and be like, well, see all that doctrine stuff. And you start having to twist the Bible to fit your life because you think that's the reason why it ain't working. Because something changed with God, and that's not the reason. I got to submit to God. I got to submit to God. I got to be full, God full in. Every day, God help me. Listen, I don't know about you. I know y'all are all perfect. Even though I see some of y'all's halos crooked on your horns, but you know, whatever. I have to ask God, God help me today to submit to you. It's not easy. If I find an area, God will tell me, hey, listen, you got off over here, buddy. And I did. And I have to repent. Stay in submission to God in 2024. Don't get out. Listen, if God's told you something to do, starting from the word of God, you better do it. Amen. Don't get crosswise with God. Some of y'all, there are things you already know you're supposed to be doing and you're now doing them. Well, let me say this to you. And I say this in deep love and compassion. Obey God. Do what God told you to do. Quit resisting God. Submit to God. Why do I say that to you? Because I want your resistance to work. But your resistance to the enemy won't work if you're out of submission to God. But notice what also happens. I can be submitted to God, but I still have to do what? Resist the devil. Stand against him. Enforce is what that word is. Resist him. He won't automatically flee until I do what? Because I want him to flee. Don't you want him to go? Don't you want the curse to go? Don't you want all that junk to go? But it ain't going to go. I'm just submitted to God. I don't know why all this stuff. Have you stood up to the devil yet? Have you stood up to him? Tonight, we're going to pray for you. I'm going to tell you how we're going to do it. It's going to be a little strange. But I saw this in prayer this morning, and this is how we're going to do it. So it's going to take us a little while to get everybody in their spot. So just be patient. I want this section over here to line up against that wall, back against the wall. It's not a firing squad, okay? We're not going to take you out that way. I started listening the way I was describing that, and I thought, you know what? That might sound a little bad. I want people in the center section, I want you to come forward, and I want you to face that way. So come forward, shoulder to shoulder, face that way. Y'all kind of see what's happening here? And then I want people on this side to line up against that wall, back against the wall. And y'all come around to the front. You can fill in. You can kind of fill in if y'all want to. We're going to get everybody set up, and then we're going to pray. Now, I know for some of y'all this is a little strange, and I don't mean to be strange. We're not trying to be strange to you. I just want to pray for you. I want you to just start to worship the Lord. Because some of you have had the curse operating in your life. There's been such negativity in your life. That's the curse. Been failure, defeat. That's the curse. Sickness. Just can't seem to shake it. Just one thing right after that. That's the curse. That is a curse. We looked at all this stuff. We looked at Deuteronomy 28, verse 60, 61. That's the curse. Broken families. That's the curse. I want you just to begin to worship the Lord. And I want you to start declaring, as I pray for you, I'm going to pray for you, that every curse is broken. And particularly, if you know a particular curse that's operating in your life, I want you to thank God that you are not cursed, but you are blessed in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, just worship the Lord for a moment. Come on, lift your hands. I've got a lot of people here tonight. Come on, just pray. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. I said, just pray in the Holy Ghost. Tonight's over. It's over. Come on, we're not ready yet. We're not ready. Come on, just pray in the Holy Ghost all over the house. Come on, I want something that's going to change tonight. It's going to change tonight. You're not going to be the same after we get done. You're not going to be doing all this praying and fasting and not see God do something in your life. In the
blood of Jesus, get over me in Jesus' name. I ain't living under that curse no more. I don't have to live under that anymore.
Amen.
You don't have to live under that anymore. You ain't cursed. Some of y'all said how you've talked how cursed you are your whole life. You're going to have to learn how to talk about yourself. You're going to look in the mirror and you start fixing your hair. You're going, oh, look at that blessed man of God. Hallelujah. Look at that blessed woman of God. Look at that. My goodness gracious. Look at that thing in the mirror. That's what the blessing looks like. That's what that is. That's what the blessing looks like. Some of y'all hate like anything to see a picture of yourself. Y'all send me nasty emails when I put your picture on Facebook. Because we got camera people that snipe you. Next time you see a picture of yourself, that's what the blessed person looks like. That's what a person that ain't cursed looks like in Jesus' name. Can I hear an amen? Did you get anything out of this tonight? Can you give the Lord a great big hand of praise? Hallelujah. You may return to your seat for a moment. Hallelujah. No curse, not here. Ushers, ready yourself to receive an offering. That includes your money too. Just saying. Just saying. Now, if you think I'm saying this, what I'm about to tell you to get more money out of you, you keep your money. I don't want your offering. But I'm going to tell you something because it's true, not because I'm trying to get a bigger offering, because this offering ain't going to me anyway. One of the ways to break the curse off of your money is to get in obedience to God with your finances. That starts with the tithe. Then that goes into the offering. He said, you're cursed with a curse. You say, how am I cursed with a curse? He said, because you've robbed me of tithes and offerings. That's Malachi 3. The curse comes on in my life when I don't give. But my giving breaks the curse off my money. Amen? And because you give, you ain't going to be cursed. I'm in obedience to God. Therefore, my money has no option but to be blessed. No option. No option, because I'm not living under the curse. Because I'm in obedience to God and my finances. Can I hear an amen? And I hope you are too. I want you to be. This is your opportunity. So I encourage you to do that while you make your offering out. How many realize that we have a crazy children's pastor? Anyone here know that? So there's coming up a Wednesday, Pastor Michaela. She's actually amazing. Appreciate her. Her kids, she had them raise $1,500 for missions, and every bit of that money came out of them nickel and diamond. Those kids came in. They brought $1,500 worth of nickels and dimes. I can't read that. What does that say? Wednesday what? January 24th, 6 p.m. She's going to be turned into a human ice cream sundae. I have no idea what that means. But whatever it means, she's going for it. That was her challenge. And I just bet, I don't know, the fast will be over at that time. There's probably going to be ice cream for everybody. But I want us to come out. We're going to bless, have some fun with our kids. Amen on that night. So it's going to be awesome. Hallelujah. Stand up all over the house tonight. Take your offering in your hand, Father. I thank you tonight that we're not cursed. We break the curse off our finances right now in the name of the Lord. Handa bokonde te 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 te. I mean, I'm talking about that stuff where you're like, man, I feel like I got a little extra money and all of a sudden it's gone. You're like, what in the world? Saying can't seem to get ahead. Those days are over. I said those days are over. Father, I thank you right now. We don't live under the curse, because that's an actual description of what the curse looks like in Deuteronomy 28. You're planting, you're sowing and all that, but you ain't getting nothing for it. You don't see nothing for it. That's good. But you see, you ain't cursed right now. So you're going to start seeing something. You're going to start seeing some growth, some increase, some expansion. God's going to start prospering you like never before. Father, I thank you for it tonight. We give you this offering. We thank you. It's more than enough. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Come on, let's go out with a shout of victory. Usher, see this offering. 1, 2, 3. Come on. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Shake some hands.
Become a kingdom building partner today online at johncarmichael.net. With your prayer and financial gift each month, we are seeing miracles, restorations in families and salvations, and you can be a part of that. Consider becoming a kingdom building partner today online. Kingdom Now is the media outreach of John Carmichael Ministries USA. All gifts to the ministry are tax deductible where applicable, minus the fair market value of any gifts received. For more information, visit www.johncarmichael.net.